It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? My neighbor. Good friend of mine's coming here to be with us today. Yes, a man who likes to draw pictures and make up stories. Mm-hmm. You've met him before. His name is Ezra Jack Keats. And I've brought one of his books with me, and also some things that he's going to show us how he uses paints and things. First of all, let's take a look at a few of the pictures in here. Maybe you could make up your own story by seeing the pictures in this book called Apartment 3. There it is. Now, there's the first picture. What do you suppose that person's doing? What about this person? What do you think he's doing? Carefully at the pictures. And what about those two boys hiding under the staircase? Make up your own story? That's a way you can use books too, you know. We'll ask him to tell us that story when he comes. First of all, let's feed the fish because it's a busy day. Oh, that may be Mr. Keats now. Let's see. Ezra Jack Keats? Yes, it is. Come in, Ezra.
Hi.
You remember my friend?
Hi.
Come on in. We've just been looking at your Apartment 3 book.
Do you like it?
Yes, I like it. And we were making up our own story just by looking at some of the pictures. What's that you have?
Oh, this is a painting I did when I was about 13 years old. And that really was a time of the beginning of the story of Apartment 3.
When you were a teenager, you did that?
Yes. It was one hot summer night. I was sitting at the window, and this is exactly what I saw. And it was late, and it got quieter and quieter, and the windows' lights went out. I was sitting there when suddenly the most beautiful music I ever heard cascaded up right into the window and just over me. And it was the most wonderful music I had heard. And the next day, I wandered through the building listening to see if I could find what apartment that music came from so that I could hear it again.
Did you find it in Apartment 3?
Oh, no, but that was the beginning of the idea for this story.
Would you tell us the story as we look at all the pictures?
This is Sam standing at the window. It was raining, and he heard harmonica music, very lovely harmonica music.
Harmonica? Hmm.
And he wondered where it came from, so he decided to go through the building, as I did when I was a little boy, and find where it came from. And his little brother Ben tagged along. They stopped at the first door, and I heard a strange crunching sound. And it was a little scary. A door opened, and out walked a neighbor crunching potato chips.
Oh, that's what he's doing.
Yes. Then they went to another door, and when they tried to listen, they heard people arguing, and cigarette smoke came out, and smells of cooking, and you could see Ben holding his nose looking in the broken mirror because the smells were pretty strong at that door. Then they went down another flight, and they heard a dog barking, and a little baby crying, and a mother singing to it, but no music. Then they went to another floor, where the hall light was out, and little Ben tripped over an old mattress outside the apartment. They heard a man snoring very, very happily inside, and Sam said to Ben, "Somebody sure is enjoying his new mattress." Then they heard somebody grumbling and walking down the stairs, and they recognized who it was. It was the superintendent of the building. So they hid because they didn't want to get into any arguments with him. He was always picking on everybody.
That's why they were hiding under the stairs.
Then they passed apartment 3, and no music. All they saw was a container of milk standing there. And they were facing apartment 2. Apartment 2 was where Betsy lived. Betsy was a little girl Sam liked, and he hoped maybe she'd come by and he'd say hello to her. But nobody came by, and they decided to go back upstairs. As they turned to go upstairs, they looked at the door, and the container of milk was gone. They hadn't heard anything, but it just disappeared. And they were very curious as to what happened. So they decided to investigate. They looked through the partial opening of the door when suddenly they heard a voice say, "Come on in, Nosy. You don't have to stand there and peek in." And they were a little scared. They went inside. It was the apartment of the blind man. And they said, "We didn't take the milk. We didn't take the milk." And he said, "Who said you took the milk? Why don't you come in and just sit down and stop worrying?" And Ben said in his little voice, "How did you know we were kids?" Not realizing that the very sound of his voice gave away the fact that he was a little boy. And he said, "Oh, I know." The blind man said, "Oh, I know a lot of things. For instance, I know that Sam likes Betsy, who lives across the hall. I can tell how his footsteps slow down when he passes the door, and the way he says, 'Hi, Betsy,' and the way she says, 'Hi, Sam,' and that embarrassed Sam. And to make matters worse, his little brother, Ben, giggled when he heard it, and he became angry, and he shouted, 'Who's the nosy one now? You're the nosy one. You listen to other people's secrets and knows about.'" And the blind man said, "Secrets? Do you want to hear secrets? Listen to this." And he stood up and began to play his harmonica. And what he played was exactly what they saw outside the window. Although he was blind, he sensed what it was like. And he played "The Evening Getting Darker" and the blues and the grays and the purples and the smoke outside. And it was the most wonderful music they had heard. And they just sat silently. Ben had his eyes shut and he just listened. When the music was finished, Sam said to the blind man, "Would you like to take a walk with us tomorrow?" And they waited for the answer. And then the answer came. Suddenly he played the most beautiful, happy music. And they knew that he would take a walk with them and that they had found a friend. And Sam signaled to Ben like this, "We've got a friend."
We have a friend in you, Ezra Keats. Thank you for telling us that story. Was it harmonica music that you heard when you were a teenager and heard that beautiful music?
No, it was a phonograph. It was a record. And years later, I discovered what the musical piece was. It was the 1812 Overture by Tchaikovsky. Very beautiful.
Have you ever heard the 1812 Overture by Tchaikovsky? Well, it's not a song that you sing. It's a beautiful piece of music. I wish I had the record to show my friends.
I have an idea. I'm going over to Negri's place. Mm-hmm. And at his music shop, and I'll look around and see if I can find it, a record. I'll bring it by and we'll play it.
Oh, that'll be fine, Ezra. Great. Thank you very much. And when you come, then we'll do the painting things together, too.
Swell.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Liked hearing that story, especially told by you.
See you later.
All righty. He's often told me, you know, ever since he was a teenager, he has liked telling stories and drawing pictures. Yeah. I like to think up stories, too. Let's think up something about the neighborhood of make-believe. Something in which somebody's looking for something. Maybe something could be missing at the castle, okay? Let's have that for our neighborhood of make-believe today.
I tell you, you just can't leave anything out anymore. It's just ridiculous. I tell you, I'm going to have some harsh words with certain people.
Uncle Freddy, I haven't the vaguest idea what you're talking about.
If you can't see for yourself, then there's no need explaining. Kindly call Handyman Negri. He'll know what I'm talking about.
Uncle Freddy, the least you could do is to give me a hint of some kind.
I know it's missing. I can't imagine that everyone else wouldn't know. Call my handyman.
Handyman Negri?
Can't you tell what's missing?
Handyman Avery.
Just look below me here and see if you don't miss anything. Now we'll see if my handyman notices.
Mm-hmm. You called King Friday?
I did. Do you know where it is?
Where what is, Your Majesty?
Look carefully and you will see. No, it is not on my person, but it is very near to me.
Could it be something with the waterfall, do you think? Why, look, it's the waterfall's not working, sir.
No, it's not the waterfall. I just haven't turned it on today.
Why don't you look there, and I'll look here.
Okay.
And if you don't find what I am talking about, you will both be...
You're 13! Is that what you mean? You're 13.
Exactly.
Where do you suppose it went, Your Majesty?
It couldn't just move itself, even though it is a Roman numeral.
Roman numeral? Roman numeral? That's really funny, Uncle
Brian. Enough frivolity. I meant no joke by that.
Where should we look for it, Your Majesty?
Are you sure that Aunt Sarah didn't take it inside the castle to clean it or something?
Yeah.
I have searched the castle. I expect you two to search the rest of the neighborhood.
Oh, we shall, King Friday.
We shall search.
And find. I hope.
Report to me when you do.
Of course, Uncle Friday.
I don't like my 13 to be missing.
Of course not, Your Majesty.
Nobody likes a roaming Roman numeral.
Where should we look for it?
We might try Lady Elaine.
That's a good idea. Maybe she decided to paint it or something.
Could be.
Okay. Why don't we look on the way?
If anyone knows, she'll know. She knew we were coming.
Yes, she did. And so she leaves us a note that says, I didn't take it.
And I didn't.
Oh, well, nobody said you did, Lady Elaine.
No, we just thought that you might know something about it.
Who would want Friday's old 13 anyway?
Well, I just polished it up yesterday and it did look rather nice.
Yes, but who would want that thing anyway, that silly old Roman numeral of his?
It's hard to know. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll ask X and Henrietta.
I'll ask Dr. Bill and Elsie Jean.
Okay.
And I'll check with Daniel and Corny and Grandpere.
You mean you'll help us find it?
Why not? I'm curious to know who might want that silly thing.
Well, that's good. And if any of us get any news, we'll all meet at the castle and call for the others, okay?
Okay.
All right, you are. And one last thing before you go. You know that... I didn't take it.
Uh-oh. Lady Elaine, I never thought for a moment that you did. I simply was certain that if anyone in the neighborhood knew about it, it would be you.
Fine. If anyone of us has any news, we'll call for the others and meet at the castle.
Righto.
Toot-toot.
Right. Toot-toot. Good luck.
You too.
See you later.
Well, as I live and fly, it's Lady Aberlina.
Hi, X. X, I'm on an important search.
A search?
Yes.
Oh, for a picture of Benjamin Franklin.
No, X, no,
right
come
down.
Back. Uncle Friday has lost something important. I know Benjamin Franklin is important to you.
Yeah.
But I am looking for something important that Uncle Friday has lost.
Oh, well, what is it?
It's the King's 13.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, you know that XIII thing he has out in front of the castle.
Meow, Lady Aberlin.
Hi, Han.
Meow, meow, meow.
I was just telling X that we're searching for King Friday's Roman numeral.
Meow, mean, meow, XIII, meow, meow, front, meow.
That's it.
Meow, 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 meow.
Well, you mean that thing is missing?
Yes, look over the castle. Remember how it used to shine?
Meow.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I guess it is. Well.
Yes, and he wants it back right away.
Well, I sure don't have it.
Meow, meow, do I.
I do have an X on my door, though. Yeah. But I don't have an XIII.
Detectives, meet at the castle. This is your squadron leader calling. Meet at the castle at once.
Oh, great. That's Lady Elaine. She must have found something. I'll see you later, friends.
Oh, good.
Did you hear her calling?
Yeah. Well,
yes, we better go over there.
Oh, we'll see you later, friends. Bye.
Meow.
Hope you find it.
Meow.
Calling all troops. Calling all troops. This is your squadron leader calling.
So you're the one.
I'm the one who's helping you, if that's what you mean.
Is this the culprit?
She's helping us find the Roman numeral.
Oh, why, Fairchild, you surprise me.
I surprise everybody, sweetie. I make life interesting.
What's your report, Lady Elaine?
My secret sources inform me that the XIII may be someplace else.
Someplace else?
That's my report.
Someplace else? You mean Don Quixote may have it?
Ask me no questions. Come along, detectives.
A prosperous perusal.
Yeah, I think this one will be a little harder to get up, that last one over there. But they do look nice, don't they?
Hi, Don Quixote.
Hi, Don Quixote.
Oh, hello, friends. You came just when I needed you.
You say you need us, Don Quixote?
Yeehaw, yes. I've been putting these decorations up on my windmill, and I'm having a hard time with that last one.
but where did you find your decorations, Donkey?
Yeehaw, on the front of the castle. Don't you remember them? They were the Roman numeral 13 in front of the castle.
You bet your life we remember them. But how did you get them?
Yes, how did you get them away from the castle and over here?
Well, I carried them here, of course.
But who said you could have them?
Yeehaw, nobody, I guess. But King Friday told me he'd pay me 13 for pumping water for his waterfall, and he never did pay me. And since I didn't want to bother the king, I just took the only 13 I could see.
Didn't want to bother him, eh?
I think we better take them back and get you a real 13 for your payment, Donkey.
Yeehaw, let's not bother him. This one will be just fine. Don't you think it looks nice? I mean...
Donkey... Uncle Freddy really wants this one back.
Yeehaw, he does?
Yes, he likes the outside of his castle to look the same all the time.
And anyway, Donkey, I really don't think that this one balances too well. Do you?
Yeehaw, okay. Just take them off and we'll take them back. Well, I didn't want to bother the king.
Well,
I
mean, it'll be no bother, Donkey.
Well, you should get paid, too, Donkey.
As a matter of fact, it'll be a nice surprise.
Nice surprise for the king. Mm-hmm. You mean he's been worried about it all?
Yes. We had to guess what it was, Donkey.
In fact, I think it'll be such a nice surprise for him that what we'll do is go back magically, so we'll get there all the quicker. I'll get us back there. Boomerang, toomerang, sumerang, even without my boomerang.
You are a quick one, Lady Elaine. Yeah.
I'm a whiz. Can't wait to tell Fred all about this.
Assembled throng, I presume.
Correct as usual, King Friday.
And who turns out to be the negligent one?
King Friday the 13th himself.
What do you mean, Fairchild?
Wait,
here's your Roman numeral, King Friday.
You may replace it, but who took it?
Yeehaw, I did, Your Majesty.
Why, Don Quixote, that surprises me.
He didn't want to bother you, Uncle Friday.
Didn't want to bother me? Well, then why did he take it?
Well, remember the 13 you were supposed to pay him when he pumped the water for the waterfall? You forgot to pay him the 13, and so he thought he'd just take the Roman numeral 13.
Oh, forgotten to pay him. Why, so I had.
See what I mean, Friday? Who is the negligent one?
Hush, Fairchild. I regret the delay, donkey. I will sustain it no longer.
And I'll just put this back.
Oh, it was Friday himself.
I trust that this will please you, Don Quixote.
Yeehaw, that sure is a nice 13. Oh, and Roman numeral on one side and other 13 on the other. I sure am sorry to have bothered you, King Friday.
It would have been a lot easier just to ask him.
Easier on my detective squad, anyhow.
It's back, trolley.
So Don Quixote did not want to bother the king. But he really did bother him, didn't he? Let's set up this record player just in case Ezra Keats finds the record at Joe Negri's. Maybe that's he now. Let's look. It is. 1812 Overture. Come in, Ezra. Did you find it?
I did.
Good.
Here it is.
Oh, good. Come on in. Let's play it. Joe has lots of things at his store.
Oh, it's a lovely shop.
Come on in. I have the record player all set to play.
Good.
There. Well, what we should do is show the painting.
That's what I heard. It brings me back to that very evening. It really does.
When you were 13 years old.
And I did this, that hot summer night. It still moves me the same way.
Ezra, this is what you painted when you were a teenager. Why don't you show us some of the things that that you do now with the paints that you brought?
Absolutely. Right?
Should we just let the record play?
That would be great.
While we work? This looks like your apron.
It is. It's my trusty apron. I've used it for a long, long time. I think it has paint on it, representing every book I did.
A little bit of paint from every book. Now, what will you want with these? Can I help you with any of this?
Well, thank you. I just need this basin filled. About half full would be fine.
With,
water.
With
yes,
water?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Would you sit down?
Thank you. Are my magic colors.
Nice to hear the music, isn't it?
Oh, it's lovely. I have stacks of records in the studio. And I almost can't work without them anymore. That's a beautiful passage, isn't it? Now, with that music in the background, we'll try to create some of our own color music.
That bubbles.
Yes, doesn't it? Take a sheet of paper, drop it on. Try to get these air bubbles out. I have one.
Pretty.
Would you like to see another?
We'll
try one with green paper, and we'll add a little additional color.
Does it take a long time for them to dry?
Oh, about a half hour or so. It's turpentine. It dries pretty fast. Here goes.
Oh.
Do you like that one?
Beautiful. Do you?
They're very unexpected in their results.
Each one is so different.
Yes, that's what makes them so wonderful. Their differences. Their unexpected differences. Well, I'll just stir it a little bit.
Now, these are oil paints.
These are oil paints diluted in turpentine. You float them on water. Here's another. Do you like them?
Oh, I do. In fact, I'd like to do some myself.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Since I have to run along now, I'll leave you all this material, and you try doing some of your own. And you'll be astonished at the variety and special difference each one has.
Thank you, Ezra.
Not
thank
at all.
You
thank
very
you.
Much. Well, there's so many things we have you to thank for. You're going to just keep your apron on?
I think I'll keep it on.
I think my friends in my neighborhood would like to see that. Wait, I'll get the record off here. You'll probably want your 1812 overture to work with. And your special painting.
Thank you.
You let us know about your next book.
I certainly
will. I know you're getting ideas for them all the time.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, friend. Goodbye, Ezra. Great man. Painting pictures, making up stories. People like you.
Yeah.
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when tomorrow's new, and I'll have more ideas for you, and you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too. I think I'll make some of those things later on today. Maybe I can show them to you tomorrow. Yeah, I'll dip some of the papers and see how different mine can be. I like you just the way you are. You're special to me too. Bye.
Gave the money to make this television visit are the people of the Sears Roebuck Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
This is PBS.